Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening. I thought we'd talk about, while we're waiting on our first call, I thought we'd talk about infant baptism. Infant baptism, practiced by the Catholic Church and a number of other churches, is that practice scriptural? Meaning, does the Bible teach us that we ought to baptize infants? Is it authorized by God's Word? If you have a comment or a question on that topic, or really any Bible topic, call us at 1-877-655-6755. That's 1-877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. You know, the first thing that I'd like to point out regarding this topic of infant baptism is that infants don't need to be baptized. Infant baptism was invented by the Catholic Church centuries after the New Testament to get rid of a baby's original sin. But there's no such thing as inheriting Adam's original sin. Let me give you a couple of passages or more to prove that to you. Ezekiel 18:20 reads, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." And so this verse makes it clear that the son does not inherit the sin of his father. Therefore, we don't inherit the sin of our father Adam. Seth did not inherit the sin of his father Adam, and it wasn't passed on to Seth's son. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Also, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. And by the way, if you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. Let me read for you Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. It says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." That's the King James Version. The newer translations, instead of inventions, usually say something like sinful schemes. This is not talking about inventing a light bulb, but it's talking about plans that men make to sin. But the point I'm trying to get at is that God made man upright. But the reason they're not upright anymore is because we have sought out many sinful schemes. According to the Calvinistic position of original sin and the Catholic position of original sin, God doesn't make man upright. God makes man tainted by the original sin of Adam. But this verse, along with Ezekiel 18:20, clearly teaches that's not true. And so the very reason that the Catholic Church invented infant baptism to get rid of their original sin is false. The reason does not apply. Infants have no sin. They don't inherit sin from Adam. Sin is something you do, like ride a bicycle. It's not something you inherit, like blonde hair. Infants have no sin. They did not inherit any sin. Therefore, they don't need to be baptized to get rid of any sin, much less the original sin of Adam. So the whole premise for infant baptism was a non-starter. It was wrong to begin with. Let's continue our discussion by noticing what some passages in the Bible would teach in regard to infant baptism and whether or not it's scriptural. The first one I'd like to concentrate on is Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip preaching to him. The eunuch said, and now I'm quoting, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." This implies that if you don't believe with all your heart, you may not be baptized. An infant cannot believe with all his heart. He is incapable of believing in Jesus. This should settle the matter, don't you think? Again, let me repeat my point. The eunuch wanted to be baptized. Philip said, "If you believe, you may." That shows to be baptized scripturally, it is required that you believe first, because this sentence, "if you believe, you may," implies that if you don't believe, you may not be baptized. Again, an infant cannot believe in Jesus, so he cannot be scripturally baptized, because this verse teaches that you can only be baptized if you believe first. That's pretty simple, I think. It shows that the infant baptism is not taught by the Bible. The lines are open, 1-877-655-6755. Next, I'd like to turn to Acts 8, verse 12. Talking about the Samaritans, the verse says, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, looking at the New King James Version of verse 6, it says, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. So, we're talking about multitudes being preached to here, but when the passage gets around to saying who was baptized, it says men and women. Surely, among all those multitudes, among all the Samaritan men and women who were baptized, some of them had children. But according to the text, zero children were baptized. Acts 5:14 is similar. That verse reads, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, but not one child, and only believers. Let me read the verse again. Believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Multitudes added to the Lord, both of men and women, but not one child. And notice also, only believers were added to the Lord. Not a single child was baptized. As a matter of fact, there is not one case of infant baptism anywhere in the whole Bible. Not one. Not one case. Next, I would like to show you that infant baptism is unscriptural by showing you verses that teach that belief and repentance are required before someone is baptized. Similar to what I did with Acts 8, verse 36 and 37. Now I'm turning to Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you see? For a person to be baptized, he needs to believe first, because it takes belief and then baptism in order to be saved. Mark 16, 16. And then in Acts 2:38 we read, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Yes, when a person is baptized, his sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. But this verse shows that before we're baptized for the remission of sins, we have to repent first. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. An infant can do neither. He can't believe in Jesus. So how can he do what Mark 16, 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? An infant can't repent of his sins. He doesn't have any sins. And if he did, he's not capable of understanding that they are sin. So he cannot meet the requirement of Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Obviously, baptism is not required of an infant, because these two verses show that before a person is baptized, they must believe and repent. Simple Bible facts rule out infant baptism. On a similar point, I'd like to turn to the Great Commission and show that teaching and preaching must come before baptism. Before I read these verses, let me repeat the telephone number again. 1-877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or a comment. Matthew 28 verse 19 reads, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now what did Jesus say? This commission is for all Christians. We're to go out and teach all nations and then baptize them. What are we supposed to do first before we baptize them? Teach them. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then Mark 16, 15 and 16. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You see, we must preach the gospel to a person before they can be baptized. You cannot preach the gospel to an infant. An infant can't be taught the gospel first. Therefore, according to these passages, he is not a scriptural candidate for water baptism. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. The number to call again is 1-877-655-6755. Phil from Grand Rapids, Michigan, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, I have to say I completely agree with you on infant baptism, but I do believe that we're born, everyone's born with a sinful nature. My question is, if you're right and infants are born innocent, how old can an infant be before they sin and become a sinner in the eyes of God?
Well, let me read you two or three more passages here that help relate to your question, Phil. In Romans 9, verse 11, the Bible says, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil." And then Isaiah 7, verse 16 says, "For behold, the child shall know," "for before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good." And then Jonah 4, verse 11, "And should not I spare Nineveh, wherein more than 60,000 persons that can discern, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left." And so these passages help us to see there's what's normally called the age of accountability. These small children, he said there were 60,000, that would be 120,000 people that were not old enough yet to discern between the right hand and their left. They weren't the child, according to Isaiah 7:16, is the child was not old enough to refuse the evil and choose the good. In other words, infants, Phil, don't start out with original sin. They don't commit sin. They don't even know what sin is. They're not responsible. I believe, Phil, that different children, as they grow older, reach this age of accountability at different ages because they mature at different rates. Do you follow what I'm saying, Phil?
I do, yep.
When a child is old enough to understand the difference between right and wrong and to understand that what he's about to do is a sin, that he's violating God's law, and then he does it, I believe then that means he's mature enough to be responsible for his sins. And then he becomes into a position where he's reached that age of accountability and he needs to obey the gospel in order to have his sins forgiven so he can be saved. You got any follow-ups, Phil?
What is your viewpoint on somebody who might be severely mentally disabled?
I have four children, Phil. One of them is a veterinarian. Another is about to enter med school. The third one is in college, still in college. And the fourth one is a 15-year-old precious son that has Down syndrome. He is a joy to have. He's one of the most loving and happy persons you'd ever meet, but he's not responsible in the sight of God. Do you understand?
I do, yep.
You've been around children like that?
Yes, I have.
It's pretty obvious then what I'm talking about, right?
It is, yes.
So, that Wesley, my son who's 15, maybe he has the mental age of a five-year-old. And so he's not responsible, even though he's 15 years old. But I suspect that 99.9% of all other 15-year-olds, the ones who are born without any handicaps, they are responsible. Now, Phil, let me ask you this. You said you believe that you disagreed with me about the original sin. What did you think about those two verses I read? Ezekiel 18, verse 20, and Ecclesiastes 7, 29. Ezekiel 18, 20 is the one that said, "The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. The soul that sinneth it shall die." Ecclesiastes 7, 29, Phil, is the one that said, "God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many sinful schemes." Why wouldn't you think those two verses would prove that children are born completely innocent and don't inherit the sin of Adam?
Well, I am keeping an open mind. That's why I continue to listen and call. But my I guess one thing I would have to say is you never have to teach a child to do what's right. I mean, you never have to teach a child to do what's wrong. They do it automatically. You only have to teach them to try to do what's right.
Is it possible that they do what's wrong automatically because they're very good at mimicking adults?
They could be.
So they learn to do what's wrong, just like they learn to do what's right. Let me read to you a passage that was at church this morning. My friend Tommy Thrasher was preaching, and he was reading from Romans chapter 3, and he happened to be talking about, I guess he was talking about this similar point, or this same point, in Romans chapter 3, in verse, oh, say 11, it says, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." So it's not that they're born out of the way. It's not that they start out unprofitable. It says they're gone out of the way. They become unprofitable. So that's the way mankind is. Thank you for your call, Phil. We appreciate it. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. You know, another passage I'd like to look at on this subject of infant baptism is Acts 2, verse 41, which reads, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." Now, receiving the word means hearing the word, understanding the word, accepting the word, and committing to obey the word. An infant can't do any of those things. He cannot receive the word. He can't understand the word, accept the word, commit to obey the word. He cannot receive the word. But this verse shows that only those who received Jesus' words were baptized. And then, next I would like to look at Acts 22:16. But before I do, let's take Chris's call from Alabama. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi, Pat. I just wanted to convey to you an example that maybe you can tie into your discussion on infant baptism. Would it be fair, first of all, would it be fair to say that in most cases of infant baptism, those that practice it either believe or have some association with the view that you're talking about tonight, that the child is in fact born in sin or has inherited the sin of his parents?
Definitely, Chris. That's the reason the practice of infant baptism was started by the Catholic Church, to wash away their original sin. So I'm with you on that.
Okay, and of course, a lot of that could be tied in some way as a first cousin to Calvinism. I was talking to a fellow several years ago that was, I think, maybe a missionary Baptist, and he held to the view of original sin and predestination. And the reason this is significant, and I want to get your thoughts on it, is that he was extremely troubled and continued to be troubled because he had lost a child several years before this discussion had taken place between he and I. And that child was very young, maybe 6-8 months old, and he was troubled by it because, these were his words to me. He said that because he believed that the child was born in sin and because he believed that there was a limited atonement, that child, never having reached a particular age where the direct operation of the Holy Spirit would lead him to become a saved individual, that child had to have died lost because he never lived to be that particular age where he would be accountable or at least responsive to direct operation of the Holy Spirit. He believed that child, his own child, died lost in that case. And he held this view kind of based on and intrinsically linked to the idea of inherited sin or depravity or original sin. And I just wanted to throw that out there for you to consider and for other people to think about as you're putting your thoughts together on why infant baptism cannot be practiced because it's not scriptural, not authorized.
Thank you for your call, Chris, and I'll comment upon what you said. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a good night.
Very good point. Chris is outstanding. You know, it would be the logical consequences of this original sin position, and that is that if that child is born with original sin, tainted by the sin of Adam, and it dies at 6 or 8 months, like the example that Chris gave, then that child would be lost because it never got rid of that original sin. That would be the logical position, the logical conclusion. But that's not true, and I'm going to give you a passage to think about. You remember the story of David. He committed sin with Bathsheba, had Bathsheba's husband murdered, and then the punishment, or one of the punishments for David by God, was that the child conceived with Bathsheba would die. And then when the child died, they asked the friends of David, asked him why he was not fasting anymore, and he replied in 2 Samuel 12, verse 23, "But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Now the point of that passage is that David, through inspiration, expected to see the child again in heaven. The child was not going to be lost according to this inspired verse from the Bible. The child was going to be saved. According to the original sin position, though, the logical conclusion would be that the child would be lost because the child died while it still was tainted with original sin and would be lost. But David, through inspiration, indicated that no, the child would be saved and he would see him one day again in heaven. That shows from going in the back door that this idea of original sin is not correct. And we're doing it to begin with, or starting with Chris's point. And we appreciate that point leading us into that, Chris. Again, we're looking at infant baptism. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. You know, sometimes people say, "Pat, why is an issue like this important? Why is it important whether or not infants are baptized? Because what harm could it do? Even if you're right, it won't harm them to be baptized." Well, let's think about a passage like Matthew 15, verse 9. "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now, infant baptism is not taught in God's Word and is therefore a commandment of men. If it's not in the Bible, then it didn't come from God, obviously. It came from men. That means those who teach it, infant baptism, are teaching a commandment of men. Therefore, their worship is in vain. And, of course, that means they can't go to heaven. You can't go to heaven if your worship is in vain, that is, useless or worthless. And so infant baptism is a commandment of men. Therefore, those who practice infant baptism, their worship is in vain, they can't go to heaven. 2 John verse 9, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Since the doctrine of Christ does not include infant baptism, then those believing and practicing infant baptism are not abiding in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ. Therefore, they do not have God. And obviously, if you don't have God, you can't go to heaven. You see why it's so important. Some people say, "Well, there's no harm done." No. When you teach and practice infant baptism, you're teaching and practicing a commandment of men. It makes your worship in vain. You're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. Therefore, you can't go to heaven. You can't go to heaven if your worship is in vain. You can't go to heaven if you don't have God. We so much appreciate you listening this evening. If you'd like to contact me throughout the week, BibleCrossfire@email.com.